Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trundy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumber Brip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your saber calling from that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, parallel experiences create a common bond between refugees and First Nation people living in Australia, according to the groundbreaking new research released today by non-profit SSI and Western Sydney University. This shared bond makes refugees and First Nation communities natural allies in progressing reconciliation and in steps towards the proposed voice to Parliament. Look, with that, I'm going to catch up a yarn now with Madison Shakespeare, First Nation researcher, and also former refugee, Dor Kadij Aki. A very good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well, Madison. Hello. Dor, hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. We'd like to ask Mob, who your Mob, where you're from. So who's Madison Shakespeare?
Oh, proudly, well, I've got Mob from a couple of different areas, proudly identifying Gadigal traditional owner, and yes. I'm actually standing on the edge of Bengal and Gadigal country as we yarn today.
Good, beautiful, fantastic, lovely footprint. Dor Kadij Aki, who your Mob, where you from? Former refugee. Tell us your story,
yeah,
please.
Yeah, Dor Akechechek, former refugee from South Sudan, and I'm with SSI, Settlement Services International, and can I acknowledge the Gadigal and Wangal people of the Eora Nation where I am based now.
Beautiful. Thank you very much. So we're talking about a new, new research, Madison, highlights common bond between refugees and Australia's First Nation. I'm thinking, do you think this is the case of the bond because of First Nation people respecting First Nation people?
Absolutely, yes. Absolutely. And just to give you a very, very quick background, Trevor, I mean, this research, it was conducted over about a 12-month period and conducted right down the east coast, pretty much, of Australia. And the shared common experiences of First Nation peoples really came out of that. Yes. What was really interesting, though, was the fact that, you know, we hadn't read and we couldn't find a great deal before engaging in the research in terms of Indigenous peoples from overseas, from other countries. So, yeah, and so this certainly, the yarning workshops gave us an opportunity to be able to share and find out about those common experiences.
Well, I'm talking, you could say black on black. When you're talking about somebody who's First Nation from another country, coming to another a country to engage with the First Nation people of that country, you can't beat that.
Have we lost you?
You there?
You there?
I lost Dor. Can you hear me, Madison? No. I'll just try again, see if we get you guys. You there? Hello, can you hear me? Hello? Hello?
He's cut out from Cairns.
Yeah. We'll try and get him back. We have Madison Shakespeare, who's a First Nation researcher, for this bond between refugees and Australia's First Nation peoples. That's the conversation we're having. And at the table also, we have a former refugee, and that's Dor Kadij Aki. And so we try and get him back to continue that conversation at Yarn. But stay tuned, your daily program, National Talk Black. On the line. Hey, good morning, guys. You there? Got me?
Yeah, good morning.
Thank you very much. So, look, very important conversation. Refugees reaching out to First Nation people for permission and acceptance, would that be the case? As I said, when you're talking black on black, there's that respect of another man's country, yes?
Yes, I would agree.
Yes.
And it's mainly on the fact that there are shared histories as well.
Yes.
Histories of colonialism,
yep.
Displacement, oppression and, racialization. Mm-hmm. And the fact that newcomers here, refugees, find allyship against that oppression with their First Nation people. Yes. And it's also about understanding the cultural safety and the continuity of that tradition that we bring from different countries as we settle here. So to be able to give respect to the owners, those who have cared for the land and looked after the land over 60,000 years, is something that is deeply acknowledged and respected, and also we remain humble and considerate of that.
Fantastic. Thank you, Dor. And as what I'm thinking precisely, when you look at it, for all refugees, when communication with the Australian government, First Nation people have got to be at the table in regard to that discussion, don't you think?
I do think that it is important that they are at the table and that every voice that has experienced under privileged and has been silenced before needs to have their voice heard in decisions that affect them.
Yes.
So we are living in 2023.
Exactly.
And 21st every century. Other six prime ministers in the past, whether be it from either side of politics, they have committed themselves and publicly come out to say that we need to have a voice. So
exactly.
Now is the time.
Yes,
indeed.
Exactly.
I completely concur.
Thank you, Madison.
I agree with you, Doc.
Yeah, fantastic. Absolutely. Madison, when you look at the, can you tell us the process in regards to communication between First Nation people and refugees? Has this always been, or has it just started, or it hasn't been existent as such?
You cut out a little bit, Trevor. Can I just ask you a question again?
Yeah, I'm just talking about the process in regards to communication between First Nation people and refugees. Has this always been the case?
Well, certainly, and this is that's a really difficult question to answer in many respects, because I think certainly when living in specific areas, so in different regions, there's been really really beneficial ongoing communication and allyship, actually a deep allyship in many instances. But certainly in this particular sort of context, my experiences have really really been formed over the last 12 months, sort of going and having yarn workshops with refugee peoples on country, so looking at place-based specific custodianship of country, so how we can together care for country, and learning about country, because Australia is a new home for many many people. But what does that mean? Because certainly one thing I found, every refugee person across five workshops that I convened, everybody wanted to know how to care for country. They wanted to know more about place-based practices. They wanted to know more about history.
Good.
And so I think that there's, absolutely, there's a deep respect.
When you look at the fundamentals, if you come to my house, well, you're going to have my permission first. Let's sit and have a cup of tea and have a yarn if you're going to be renting a room off me, sort of thing, whatever the case might be. So if you look at the bigger picture, refugees come to this country, yarning to the government, but okay, black people, First Nation people of this country should be at the table.
Totally. And certainly something that's also sort of come out of today's forum, because we had an opportunity for community elders to yarn together with with professionals, but also with representatives across different refugee communities. So it's been the most enriching time for this research, just before the referendum. One thing that's really come to the fore also is that there is a deep allyship and there's a deep respect for actually having us as First Nation peoples, rightfully, provide opinion and inform decisions through our lived learned experiences and our knowledges and our histories, in terms of our self determination, our future. So
exactly.
I mean, it's certainly pertinent and it's interesting because it's deeply understood. It seems to be deeply understood by what came out of the yarning early this morning, in terms of there's actually no question.
Exactly.
nobody is questioning in terms of Yeah, it's that deep understanding of why it's necessary. Yeah.
Dor, back to you. And in that discussion, when refugees are communicating with First Nation people and the bond is becoming stronger, well, there also creates a nice platform for respect of the country and the First Nation people. And then if given the tick of approval, so to speak, that they do live here, refugees become Australians as such, then they will always respect First Nation people and the country they're on in regarding not committing crime, paying their taxes, and ticking all the boxes as Australians. Yes?
Indeed. And that kind of sense of belonging that's based on Australianism has to be based on the fact that we live on a country that is belonging to the First Nation people.
Yes.
And so it has to start with a connection to land. The Yarn Circle has kind of encouraged newcomers to then connect with that from the environmental sense, connecting with the nature, but also from a spiritual sense, connecting deeply with ancestors who own this land and the histories that have preceded us to these days. And so it then created a deep sense of cultural exchange and you know, practices that are very much respectful, reciprocal relationships. And then from there, it uncovered many, many similarities, like the food is quite diverse.
Yeah.
The people arriving from different nations are quite diverse. So is the Aboriginal people prior to, you know, the white settlers. They were diverse and still diverse today. And so it created this very natural alignment.
Natural alignment. I like that. Exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
But I said the similarities and the culture, we are connected in more ways than one. And that's why you can't be black on black. It's great to be at the table with refugees of the First Nation people and the communication, the bond. Madison, thank you. Dor, thank you. I think it's a great concept and idea. This should continue, but I think the push for having First Nation people at the table in regarding refugees applying for residencies, First Nation people need to be at the table from this country, yes.
Absolutely, and really, you know, integrally, like, it needs to be, when we're looking at the many sort of education processes that are involved in terms of citizenship, there need to be not just theoretical, you know, sort of observations put in place of First Nation peoples, but we need to be up there yarning with, working with, and in a sense, mentoring new Australians looking after country. And that sort of collaboration, and it must be First Nation led. It can't be something that's taught in a textbook, because most textbooks don't actually contain our histories.
Sure, exactly.
You know, they're white histories.
But if that mechanism was put in place, when you're eye to eye looking into an elder, and they're giving you permission to come to this country and stay here and abide by the rules, I think that gives you a bit of meat on the bone in regarding that respect and that endearment and to live here and respect the rules and laws.
And,
you know, it just cements it,
also,
doesn't it?
And walking on country, walking on country and connecting with country. And then ancestors, they'll take over and do the rest.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
They're very wise. And as I was saying, sort of, you know, through this research, you know, we have common ground, and that common ground is country.
Exactly.
You know?
And I think, Dor, you'd understand,
thank you
too.
So much for the opportunity.
No, that's fine. And I just
thank you. And I think the four things that are integral to that, as my final questions, are that we explore cultures of the First Nation.
Yes.
We immerse in the natural environment of the First Nation. Mm. We absorb the spiritual connection, and we elevate the political aspects of the First Nation people.
Beautiful. And I'm just thinking, black on black, Dor, you would understand, if you muck up on country, you may get a spear in the leg. You know that.
Now that's getting pretty deadly in a bad way.
Yeah, well, that's right, exactly. Yeah, but that's what I'm talking about, respecting on country. Respecting on country, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I was sharing earlier in the forum about the stories that I shared with a black brother.
Yes.
My first encounter with a First Nation person when I was going through high school.
Yes.
And Jake will call me my brother. Let's have a yarn. And we'll talk about those histories.
Yes.
The struggles, the connections to the country and spirit. And I deeply respect
Thank
that.
You.
And
that's right, brother.
It gave me a lot of knowledge.
Thank you. Beautiful.
Wonderful.
Well, you gave me a lot of knowledge. Good yarning with you both.
Thank you so much.
I call you my brother. Madison, my sister. Thank you very much.
Looking forward to community connecting with you and yes. hearing our story. But have a lovely morning.
Take care. All the best. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thanks,
bye-bye.
Guys. Take care. Bye-bye.
Beautiful yarn, deadly yarn there. Madison Shakespeare, First Nation sister, and she's a First Nation researcher on regarding the highlighting the common bond between refugees and Australia's First Nation people. And look, First Nation people should be at the table in regard to refugees coming to this country. Of course, it's our country. And then yarning with Dor Achik. He's a former refugee, and he's at a part of the conversation as well. A beautiful conversation, and look, have you say, you mob. Yarn up strong, add to the conversation here. National Talk Black, deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. I'm getting bored of this. No, not me getting bored of this show. National Talk Black, no way. That's the name of the track there. I'm getting bored of this. And it's by Tia Agostello. Here on your daily program, National Talk Black, have your saying, yarn up strong. 1-800-422-416, the number you need to call. Yarn with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. Coming live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on the Yidinji Country. BBM Bumba Brip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. And I'd like to acknowledge my mob, Dad's side, 1 year Gunga leader, Gulf of Carpentaria, born in the Curry, Cloncurry, Murray from the Curry, my radio name. And also my beautiful mother in spirit with me, Darnley Island Arab, so best of both worlds. And we're going to catch up a yarn now with another bulla from TSI, Henry Nona, who's based over in WA. My bulla, very good morning, Henry Nona, how are you?
Yeah, couple giga, moral boy, debbie de mobi.
Wow.
Yeah, my brother. Thanks for having me.
Good morning, brother. How are you? You well?
Yeah, brother. All in work in progress. Just a contribution to our listeners regarding the referendum coming up.
We yarned last week and you put all cards on the table. You're a no. Is that right?
Yes, my brother. Definitely a no voter.
Okay.
It's the principle behind what I want to talk about, my brother.
Go ahead, yes.
I think just for our listeners there, my brother, I think just going back to the very, very foundation of colonization, I think in the midst of everything what's happening, my brother, everyone needs to be reminded of the fundamental, what we govern by when it comes to the power structures of our day.
Yep.
And, but I think when you look at concept and ideologies with reference to the government that we're governed by, when you talk about state and federal government right across this country.
Mm.
And I think, brother, it's quite evident that the concept and ideology of colonization, all our listeners listening right across this country needs to be reminded that obviously what we're dealing with at the present moment, I'll use us as sovereign Yidinji government, my brother, when we first started.
Yes.
It's based on concept and ideologies. And you can even comment and elaborate on that. What's the concept and ideologies around sovereign Yidinji government and our very purpose for existence as First Nation people when it comes to Indigenous affairs in this country. And I think thinking of the next generation coming up, I'm thinking of my nephews and nieces.
Mm.
And I think going forward, my brother, I think I say it respectfully what I'm about to say, past and present leaders, Indigenous leaders, in this country. I take my hat off for their shared collective contribution in the political landscape. Mm. But I think as we strategize going forward, my brother, I think when you talk about turning followers into leaders and leaders into agents of change, our leaders fail miserably in the past and leading up to now. And I believe it's with all the technology advancement, all the resources that we have at our disposal in today's generation and the contemporary society we live in, I think when it comes to government, our listeners and families need to be reminded it's the concept and the ideologies of government very important when it comes to the referendum and what we actually governed by in this country. Just listening to your previous speakers, when it comes to foreigners coming in and settling in our country, as you know, my brother, this country has been established with foreigners, ethnic background from all walks of life. The backbone of this country is based on their shared contribution. I think our listeners need to be reminded, Bala, that ideology and concept when it comes to the subject matter of government past and present. Like, for example, my brother, the concept and ideology is we go into the polling booth to vote yes or no. Those concepts and ideologies are based on the oppressor. Our education system in this country, whether you go to public or private school, whether you go to university, the concept and ideologies are based on the oppressors that developed and introduced these concept and ideologies. What's your thoughts on that, my brother?
Well, I wanted to ask you, so you think the Yes campaign, if we get over the line, is not a good thing for First Nation people? Is that what you're saying?
My brother, either yes or no, whatever results will prevail at the end of the day at the vote for voting booths. It's the concept and ideology. For example, if the yes prevails, we're still governed by ideology and philosophies of the oppressor. And the power structures of the past and the present. You know very well, my brother, for the past 260 years, or we go back 60 years, failed government policy and programs. You talk about Indigenous advancement strategy. The list goes on. Yes, I take my hat off for families in the mainstream sector when it comes to their shared contribution, making a difference. But we need to be reminded of the very fundamental, my brother. For example, our listeners and families and loved ones out there, sovereign Indigenous government existed based on clear concept and ideologies. As a result of we're not recognized in the constitution of this country, that's why sovereign Indigenous came to fruition. And all other Indigenous government structures right across this country, our allies. Would you agree, my brother?
Yeah, well, and that's outside the rules and regulation of Commonwealth. And that's under United Nations, UNDRIP, United Nations Declaration of Rights of Indigenous People. Because we don't have a treaty, the Yidinji people here on Yidinji country have created their own government and the rights to do so. You there, Henry? Bala Henry. I lost you. Henry Nona, you there? WA. My Bala, give me a call back. That's Henry Nona. Having a yarn with Henry Nona, who's a no voter for the up-and-coming referendum, and explaining why he's voting no. But we're talking about Yidinji, sovereign Yidinji government here on Yidinji country, who've been operating their own government for the last nine-odd years and got their own coat of arms, their own constitution, their own flag, and not government-funded. They run and operate on their own funds. And I think we've got Henry here. Henry Nona?
Yeah, my brother.
Got your brother. Yeah. So in regards to opportunity, the government opportunity here in Yidinji, on Yidinji country, the Soviet Yidinji government are operating under UNDRIP, United Nations, UNDRIP, Declaration of Rights of Indigenous People, because we don't have a treaty. Commonwealth doesn't have a treaty with the First Nation people, decided to run their own government and the rights to do so. And they've got their own flag and constitution and coat of arms, and they're not funded by Commonwealth. They fund themselves and they operate in this space. Anyone who comes to Yindinji, they ask for them to come to the office to pick up their visa and continue with their business. That's the space you're talking about, having power to operate their own government on their own country. That's what you're talking about, brother, away from Commonwealth. So they don't need to be part of the so-called voting, yes or no, is what you're saying, yep?
Yeah, my brother, it's more to do with concept and ideologies. Mm. Brother, okay. For example, yep. When you look at the history of our indigenous heritage and our indigenous identity, yeah. When it comes to our cultural belief system, yeah. For example, both of us from up in the Torres Strait, for yeah. example, my brother,
yes.
When it comes to our kingship structure, mm. When you talk about truth-telling, our language in the Western Island group back home in the Torres Strait, when you talk about integrity and when you talk about truth-telling, mm. My brother, in our language, we say, "Nid mas mari udana ke zapul balbagi zayman." In terms of when you talk about the land, it's a spiritual problem that needs a spiritual answer, my brother.
Yeah.
When it comes to all these political issues, specifically around indigenous affairs. Mm. And I think we need to go back to the very basic and fundamental, 1788, mm. The impact of European settlers.
Yep.
And when you talk about colonization, as you know, my brother and all our listeners out there that has a genuine interest in the political arena, those colonization is based on ideology and concepts. Mm. For example, my brother, this whole global community we're living in, it's based on Greek philosophy.
Yes.
This whole society we're governed by, it's governed from the grave, my brother.
Yes.
The Greek philosophers died, but today their ideas are still so vibrant.
Mm. And is that a good thing? Yes or no?
No, my brother.
Mm.
As you know, the Romans conquered the Greeks.
Yes.
And when you look at the impact of European settlers advancing yes. colonization,
yes.
My brother, I think we need to set up academy when we talk about turning followers into leaders and leaders into agents of change.
Yes.
When it comes to setting the next generation up for success.
Yes.
And I honestly believe, my brother, politicians are not true leaders. They only worry about voters next election.
Mm-hmm.
True leaders think generationally.
Yeah.
And going back to referendum coming up, I hope our family and listeners can really, really make that conscious decision.
Mm.
When you tick at that ballot box,
yes, yes.
What idea and concept are this voting process
yeah.
actually originated from?
Mm-hmm.
Powerful and yeah. I know that there's different emotions and different perspective when it comes to sovereign indigenous government existence. We just want to coexist and work in alliance with the Australian government. Is that correct, my brother?
Yeah. Well, exactly. We are still fighting for our existence as such. And we are still behind the eight ball. We've still got a lot of gaps to close. And the government need to take it seriously. Lost you. Hey, Henry Nona. My brother, I was just saying, call us back if you can, Henry. But I'm just saying the government needs to operate in a respectful manner. Now, if you want to talk about finance, money that's owed in regard and what has been stolen, the government, Commonwealth, cannot afford to pay back what is owed. You know, maybe the royal family steps in. They got a lot of billions. There are billions of dollars. And it came from the so-called motherland, England, coming over here, colonising, taking over our country. Not the so-called Australians who live here, but they benefit from that. Maybe the royal family need to step in regarding, we're talking finance, but we're not chasing money. Money is a tool, but I feel that you can't afford to pay back what you owe if you're talking about the skyscrapers and the cities of this country and what they've built. on stolen land, you can't afford to pay that back. So set a vehicle up or a platform where we can work together, and we as First Nation people compensate in regards to a voice or a vehicle that brings black people at the table, front and centre, and having their land back, certain areas, or compromise to the where the cities are, have been built. I don't know, all the above, but that's the sort of conversation that needs to be had. To all you deadly listeners out there, you want to tune in, add to the conversation. Henry Nona from WA, lost there, but he's going to call back or hopefully get him back. He's a no voter, and he feels that it's all about governance and what have you. Have your say, Yanup Song, add to the conversation. To Deadly Mob, National Tall Black, 1-800-422-416. Thinking about your body next to mine, butterflies gonna keep on flying. You're too messed up to remember. Hey Mob, it's Jessica Malvoy, and you're tuned into National Talk Black, Trevor Tim, Trendy Turb, Murray from the Curry via BBM 98.7 FM, also NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service.
One. 105.9
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
To Daily Mob, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. Come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bumber Bit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Have your saying, Yarn Up Strong, your mob, 1-800-422-416. Yarn Up Strong. All right, we're going to catch up a yarn now with Melissa Lekashenko. And she's a new novel, got a new novel out, Eden Glassy. I'm going to talk to her about that on the line. We have Melissa. Melissa, good morning, sister. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks. This is Trevor.
This is Trevor, yes. How are you going?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks.
Good, good.
Busy here.
Fantastic. Thank you for coming. Before we start, let the mob know who your mob were you from.
Yeah, yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, now.
Yeah, please. Yes, sister. Yeah, let them know. Yeah, you're on air. Talk to the people. Who are you mobbing?
Oh, sorry, I didn't realise we were on air.
All good, sister.
Tikiwala Jimbalung. I'm a Bundjalung Guri, Brisbane raised, but my mum's family line goes back to Tweed River Mob.
All right, fantastic. So a bit of background. Is a Guri Aboriginal and author of Bundjalung and European Heritage, and your first novel was published in 1997. Since then, your work has received acclaim in many literary awards. Sixth novel, Too Much Lip, won the 2019 Miles Franklin Literary Award and the Queensland Premier's Award for a work of state of significance. So how deadly are you, my sister, and using words as the vehicle, yes?
Yeah, well, look, I don't have to pen mightier than the boomerang, but you've got to have a crack, hey?
No, too deadly. And look, we as First Nation people, we use whatever vehicle, whatever mechanism to educate the people of the world, to build bridges, but also to stamp our existence, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely, brother. And that's what it's all about.
Exactly.
Like, in all my work, it's all about we are still here, you know.
Yes.
You can forget about that dying race nonsense.
Yes.
We're here. We're on country a lot of the time. You know, we're speaking our languages or we're relearning our languages.
Mm.
We're looking after country and we're looking after ourselves.
Yes, and the statement always was, always will be. Ain't that the truth?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. I mean, you've got to fight for it, of course.
Of course. We're used to that. We're used to that. So tell us about Eden Glassy, your latest novel, please.
Well, Eden Glassy is my seventh book, and it's set in Brisbane, mostly in 1855.
I'm just saying, your seventh book, and I still haven't finished my English assignment back in 1986.
Oh, well. I don't think I'd be able to do a radio interview.
So tell us about what Eden Glassy. Sorry, interrupting. Yes, go ahead.
Eden Glassy.
Eden Glassy.
Is an early white fellow name for Brisbane that didn't stick.
Oh, okay.
And I just really liked that word, and I used it because I didn't want to write about first contact. I didn't want to write about that first point of where the massacres and the invasion actually happened, because I didn't think I had enough, didn't really have enough insight to write that, basically.
Yes.
So what I wanted to do was write about the place, colonial Queensland, one generation after invasion, and say, okay, well, everyone knows that white fellas turned up and there was all the bad stuff, all the shooting, the massacres, the taking of kids right from the get-go.
Yes.
And I want to say, what does it look like a generation after that when the numbers of Murrays and the numbers of Guris, more accurately, the number of Guris and the number of Migaloos was about equal? Because if you think back into this time, Brisbane was the size of, like, the population was less than Palm Island, right?
Yeah.
It was tiny, tiny by European standards. And the number of black fellas getting around was similar to the number of white fellas. And so the wars were still raging outside Brisbane, you know, just outside the city or the township.
Mm.
And Dunderley, the resistance leader Dunderley, who was a Dalla man from the Sunshine Coast, he was hung in Brisbane in 1855, and I show that in the book.
Yes.
And I should add, I've been doing all this with the permission of Yagara, senior traditional owner Gudjakerry Charlton, and also other relevant elders. And so I show the hanging of Dunderley, and I say, what was it like for mob? What was the place like at that time when the power was just starting to shift and the numbers were just starting to change so that it was a white majority and the frontier war was ending and another kind of place was evolving out of that initial conflict? So, and I wrote it because next year is the 200-year bicentenary of Brisbane, of the Englishman John Oxley coming up the Brisbane River and for the first time. And I wanted there to be a book out there that said, well, yeah, you can talk about
your existence,
coming here.
Yep. Colonisation, yeah, 200 years. Yep. Yep.
But who was here already and did we think about what happened?
Beautiful. Exactly.
So, yeah, that
exactly.
Alternative lens. Yeah.
Mm. And there's our response. Well, your book could be one of the responses, you know, but at least there's something there that people, black and white, government, what have you, can go to?
Yeah, well, I made the main character of Eden Glassie, a 17-year-old Yugambeh boy from the Gold Coast.
Okay.
And I made him, he comes up for ceremony in the novel.
Good.
And he gets stuck in Brisbane. His father has to go back home, and so he leaves him in the care of the Brisbane mob. And he's the adopted son of the Brisbane headman and the Brisbane headman's wife.
Okay.
And I made him a 17-year-old boy who'd just gone through his teenage law because I wanted 17-year-old kids in schools in Queensland, those boys, those white boys and Asian boys, who are going to go on and be lawyers and politicians and businessmen, powerful people. I wanted them to be able to identify with my central character a bit.
Yeah.
And say, oh, these were actual people. These were people who fell in love and who had, you know, angers and jealousies and joys and laughter. They're people like us, and that, you know, to humanize.
And they weren't flora and fauna, were they, Melissa?
Exactly. Well, that's it. That's exactly. It. And until non-First Nations mob see us as human beings, they're not going to care about that history, and we're not going to get to treaty.
Exactly.
So that's why I wrote this book.
Okay, fantastic. So, a bit of background, my sister. Got about 5 minutes. So, where'd you come from in regarding schooling, working, and what made you become an author as such? And have you got any background regarding the so-called English education, so to speak?
Yeah, right. Well, I grew up in Magungeon, Brisbane, on the south side, in Logan, just right at the top north end of Logan near Brisbane in Rochdale, went to Rochdale State School. And then when I was 16, I moved down to Eagleby, which is a real black area, black and Pacific Island area of Logan City down here. And then travel around a bit. I've lived in Canberra, lived in Darwin, and I spent a year living in the Kingdom of Tonga when I was married and my husband was working in Tonga for a year.
Okay.
But, I did go to uni after a while, but I did business. I didn't do... I was always interested in reading and books, and because my mum grew up very, very poor and never had enough clothes, let alone books, she always made sure she took us to the library. And me and my youngest brother, we'd go to the library religiously once a week and get books out. Always a big reader, always good at English at school, but, No one in Australia thinks they can be a writer, at least not one my age.
But it created a vision, if not a vehicle, was put in front of you, and now you're driving it.
Well, it's and there's a lot of Murray writers around these days now. You know, there's all over the continent. You know, there's Marie Munkara in Tiwi Woman up in Darwin.
Yeah.
There's Alexis Wright from Doomadgee, Burketown area, all over the place.
Beautiful.
All over the place.
Beautiful.
Dozens, yeah.
Well, congratulations. Eden Glassie is out now?
It'll be out from tonight. But it's
from tonight, okay, beautiful.
Tonight and then Melbourne tomorrow night.
All right, so there it is, powerful. Well, congratulations, my sister, leading from the
front.
Thanks, good yarning with you. Please do keep in touch and keep staying deadly, my sister. Take care, darling. Bye-bye. Beautiful yarn there. And that's Melissa Lukashenko, and releasing a new novel as of tonight, Eden Glassie. So do check it out. And that's her seventh book. So look, fantastic. Have a read. Walk a mile in her shoe. And like I said, get educated on this country. Black and white, or before and after colonization. Either way, we're all Australians. Get educated. Australia's got a history, good or bad, black or white, but the history is a history. So get educated on your history. Have your say, yarn up strong, and you have to do that tomorrow. Trinity Trevor going to sign off for today's program. Thank you very much for your company. Good yarning. Bala Henry Nona from WA, thank you for your input. And good to catch up with Melissa Lushenko. And also talking to the mob regarding refugees and our relationship as First Nation people with refugees coming to this country. She'll be at the table, front and centre. Have your say, yarn up strong, tomorrow, 1-800-422-416. 24/7, you can text the brother, 045-714-0550. And don't forget our Facebook page as well, BBM987FM. National Talk Black, 1 hour program, live here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns on your dingy country. BBM Bumba Brett Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Israeli Service. Big shout out to the NERS team. Thank you very much to Dudley. And also big shout out to the First Nation radio station across this beautiful big island, Australia. Dudley Black Network, and operating for our mob, to Dudley.